Father, we thank you for this day again. God, we're so thankful for the good singing that we've heard. God, I'd pray for a few minutes of time that you'd help us, Lord, as it comes time to preach. And Lord, I pray, God, that you give us unction to preach, which no man can preach without. And Father, I pray this morning that God, that you'd help. Reach right down into the hearts of men and women. And God, I pray that you give them what they stand in need of. Father, I pray, and Lord, today they'd not hear from me, but I pray they'd hear from heaven. And God, as you speak to their hearts, I pray you deal with them, God, accordingly. Lord, I'd ask you, God, that you'd help us to have good liberty. And Father, I pray, Lord, I understand, God, that as we've come to the house of God this morning, Lord, you're under no obligation to deal in anybody's heart. But Father, we're asking you to, and God, trusting that you will now, I pray, help us, Lord, as we try to preach. In Christ's name, we humbly beg and ask, amen, amen. Usually, of course, you've been in this church long at all, then you know I like to read a text of Scripture first, but the Lord's been dealing my heart about some things, and you just hold on with us and stay tight. I'll get to the text in just a minute, but there's a verse that God's been dealing with in my heart, and as I was studying about this verse, it seemed like I just get on this thought and then the next thought, and just looking at why in America everybody seems to be so miserable, amen, and don't look here, it'll be bad before it gets okay, and it might not never get there, amen. But I want to share with you a few things. I was reading this thing the other day, and after I'd been studying, it just sort of confirmed it in our heart. It said, for the first time in the last 25 years, that America is no longer ranked in the top 20 in the happiest nations in the world. That's what it said. It said that everybody under the age of 30 have ranked it 62nd in happiness. It said the reason that we're no longer happy, it's not the older folks, it's the younger crowd. They've got no hope. They see no future. And the boy, I got it down in my heart. This is what it said. I wrote it down. This fellow's writing an article said, the problem is clear, but the cause is not. Amen. And I thought, thank God I know the cause. Amen. And so I got to look, and I want to share this with you. That's some people that are miserable in America today. Some of these things blowed my mind. It said that 16% of all moms and dads are miserable being parents. That if you ask them, one out of every five would not be have kids again. I thought, man, what a sad state in America. Amen. Thank God. Oh, it gets worse. Now listen, it gets worse. That said 20% of people are miserable in church. Amen. Thank God. I look at it, said 34% of confessing Christians say they are still miserable. I read this, said 50% of folks are miserable in their job. And if that's not a stark contrast enough, this is what it said. It said 60 to 70% of people are miserable in their marriage. Amen. And I thought, oh my. I mean, look here, friend. Everybody's sitting around. We've got folks that are miserable in their job. Ain't miserable from the time they wake up until the time they go to sleep. And they don't have nothing else. All they are is miserable. Hey, look at their spouse and they're miserable. Look at their kids and they're miserable. And go to the house of God and they're miserable. I'm preaching to some folks this morning and you're miserable, amen. But thank God, listen, I've got good news. There's a text in this passage. If God had helped us for a few minutes of time, I want to preach on why I'm not miserable, amen. Now watch what the Bible said. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 19, the word of God reads this way. It said, if in this life only we had hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, amen. That's all I like to preach on this thought. On why I'm not miserable, and you ought not be either, amen. I want you to understand this today, and I really do mean this. And thank God, I believe if you're a child of God, you ought to have the best of every one of those worlds. You ought to be happy in your job, happy in your marriage, happy in your church, happy with your kids, amen. And thank God, so why are so many folks miserable? Here's the answer, thank God. And they don't have hope in Christ. And so they come in the house of God. And oh, my friend, although they've got him on their lips, they don't have him in their heart. I give you four things real quick, and I'll be done. And the first reason I'm not miserable is hell is not my home. Amen. Thank God. Mighty hard to be miserable when you're not going to hell. Amen. up mighty hard, thank God. Now listen, friend. You say, preacher, you wake up happy all the time. Thank God, not every time, but just about all the time. Amen. I wake up, thank God. And even when it's a bad day, I'm reminded, Brother Bill, thank God, that my worst day here beats the best day in hell. Amen. Hard to be miserable like that. I mean, look here, friend. When I'm reminded of the fact that not one hair on my head will ever go to the bottomless pit. When I'm reminded I'll never know what it is to smell the smoke of torment rising up. When I'm reminded, thank God, that I'll never feel any weeping, I'd never feel any gnashing, I'd never hear the screams of hell. When I'm reminded, thank God, that way back yonder there was a time in my life that I called on the name of Christ and He saved me. Amen. Hard to be miserable when hell's not your home. Amen. And look here, friend, in 1 Corinthians 15, that's what the Bible said in verse 3. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Listen to me, friend. It's mighty hard to be miserable when you know you're not condemned. Amen. That's right. And the Bible teaches us in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on it. And so there's a time I was walking around, and the wrath of Almighty God was just hanging over top of my head. If I'd have died in that state, in hell I'd have lifted up my eyes. But thank God there's a time, friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, how He died for our sin according to the Scripture. That's why I'm not miserable. Amen. Thank God. Look here. I don't even know how to relate to Christians that are miserable. Amen. I mean, how are you going to get up and be mad that you ain't dying and going to hell? Thank God. And look here, friend. I'm glad that there's no condemnation. And the Bible even says that. Therefore, there is now and no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:1. Amen. And so I'm not going to hell. Thank God. And no condemnation, no damnation, and no separation. Amen. And you say, how'd you get that? Because Christ died for my sin according to the Scripture. Amen. And died for mine, died for yours. Ain't that a blessing? Here's the way I understand it. And now you just hang with me real tight right here. And the way I understand what happened, it was that I had a whole list of sin. Let's call that list of sin this, all right? And when Christ died for my sin, Sam, and what He done was He come and He paid the price for every wrong that I ever done. And that's pretty good, amen. But if He had not resurrected Tanner on the third day, I'd still be yet in my sin. And my faith would be vain, and my hope would be vain. But He done it better than that, thank God. On the cross He died for my sin, and took away the wrong. But on the third day He raised for my justification. You say, what happened? I went back to the Father, I took that coat of righteousness, and He covered me up with it. And now no longer is my sins gone, but His righteousness is on me. Hard to be miserable, thank God, whenever I'm reminded of the righteousness of Christ that's on my soul. And as a result, hell is not my home. Amen. Thank God. That's why I'm doing all right today, thank God. Amen. You say, preacher, you would be doing better probably. Amen. But I feel like I'm doing all right, thank God. Everybody in here understand that, thank God. Look here, friend, that in the light of eternity, how much money you have and how big your house is ain't going to matter a stitch. Amen. I won't help you, not none. In the light of eternity, your 401k will not get you one more better view on the street of gold overlooking the river of life. Amen. But I'll tell you, thank God, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb and know that you know Christ beyond any shadow of a doubt, it ought to be mighty hard to be miserable. Amen. I'd say, first of all, I'm not miserable because hell's not my home. But I want you to watch what the Bible says here in verse number 20. In verse number 20, 1 Corinthians 15. He said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Verse 23. But every man in his order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. I'll tell you this, I'm not miserable because hell's not my home. But I'm also not miserable because the grave's not my home. Amen.
Hey, you know why that whole crowd under 30, I was reading this other day, that old crowd under 30, there's more agnostics under the crowd under 30 than there ever has been. And we're just about one generation away from being an anti-God nation in this nation, amen. And not talking about somewhere else, I'm talking about right here where we're at. And the very truth of the matter is, and the reason they're so miserable, is they say, man, there's no hope beyond the grave. And whenever I get to the grave, that's all that there is, amen. But thank God, look here, friend. Your life just started when you get to the grave, saved or lost, amen. And look here, friend, thank God. I was thinking about old Job. You remember Job? Somebody ought to go read that sometime. I don't remember just exactly how the verse it is, but in Job 17, that boy Job said that the grave was his home, and he said, therefore I have no hope, amen. He said, boy, that's all that there is. In Job 17, Billy said, no hope. I'm going to die, preacher savage, and they're going to put me in the grave. They're going to lower me down, and there's no hope. But something happened between Job 17 and Job chapter 19, amen. And somewhere between those two passages, and the Holy Ghost must have paid him a visit and said, what's all this nonsense about it ending in the grave, amen. And Job 19, Job lifts up his voice and he said, I know, amen, that my Redeemer liveth. And he said, he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And he said, and though after my body, though after my skin, worms destroy this body, he said, yet in my flesh shall I see God, amen. You know what he said, thank God. He said, I got hope, amen. No longer miserable. Hard to be miserable when you got hope in Christ. I don't know if you know it or not, but listen, at the very second that you expire here, you take that last breath, you're going to inhale somewhere, amen. Thank God, you're going to inhale, and the first thing you're going to inhale may be the flames of hell coming in that mouth. But all for the rest of us, thank God, did say, got our name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And this is what the Bible said. It said, for we are willing rather, amen, to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord, amen. And the reason we ain't miserable, thank God, is the grave is not my home, amen. Oh yes, thank God. They'll put me down in it, and them old skin worms, as they said, them skin worms will wrap us up. They'll eat us down. There'll be a time I'll be decayed, and all that'll be left will be bones. Amen. But there's another day coming, thank God. There's a day, friend, rest assured. And whenever this right here is gone, you say, preacher, we don't want to see you like that. You'll not see me like that. I'll done be exited out, amen. I've done folded up my tent. The Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 1. It says, therefore, we have another house, a building not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Thank God, when this earthly house, this tabernacle is dissolved, I've got a better place to go. Amen. Look at me, friend. That's why I'm not miserable. It don't end with the grave. Amen. I'm not trying to live for everything over here. Hell's not my home, and the grave's not my home. That's why I'm not miserable. Amen. Thank God. Now look here, if that's all I had, I guess I would be miserable. I think, why don't I have more? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? But oh, friend, listen. This is not the only life I know. Amen. Thank God. That'd be a little common, not a period when I die. Lord, don't you let nobody put a period after my death date. Amen. Thank God you put a comma right there. Just like they did whenever Moses died. It said Moses, the man of God, was dead. Semicolon. Period. That life's over. Comma. New life starts. Amen. Thank God. You best believe that's how that works. Amen. I'm saying this simply. Hell's not my home. The grave's not my home. But oh, I like what he goes on down to say. Look with me in verse number 42. It starts getting better and better. The longer Paul starts preaching, this is what he said. I don't know why I'm not miserable and why you ought not be either. Verse number 42. He said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in the corruption, raised in corruption. Sown in dishonor. He said, thank God, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. He said, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so as it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. I'm going to say this to to you. And the reason I'm not miserable, hell's not my home. Thank God the grave's not my home. And this body's not my home. Amen. That may not do nothing for you. It makes me happy. Amen. I'm looking forward to getting out of this thing. Amen. Now, I'm going to be happy while I'm here. I'm going to shout her out. But I've got a better body awaiting on me. Amen. I think this in here disturbs me. Maybe yours don't ever bother you. But in Romans chapter 7, I've got a war in my flesh. I've got a war in my mind. I've got a war in my spirit. Every time I know to do good, I thank God there's evil present. So the good that I would do, I do it not. And that which I would not, that I do. And so I find myself caught in this trap of constantly failing God. But I'll tell you why I'm not miserable. Hey, the day coming, I'm going to get a new body. Thank God. It won't be disturbed like this one. I'll tell you this, thank God. You know what I'm going to, I know I'm not going to preach it in heaven, understand all that. But it'll be good, thank God, to get around heaven without folks just staring at you while you're preaching. Amen. Amen. Thank God. They'll be happy too over there. Amen. When we take a poll on heaven's fair shore and we say how many folks is miserable, the results are going to come back 0%. Amen. Everybody will be happy over there. That's page 180 in the Redback Hymn Book. Amen. That's good theology. Thank God. I'm saying this, friend. How we ought not be miserable here when we've got so much waiting over there. Amen. This body's disturbing me. This body's decaying, like it or not. I was thinking about this. You know, just the other day, Davis was born, and now he's getting old. Amen. You know what that means? That means so am I. And I was thinking 10 years ago, man, they'd been gone in a flash. I was a young man when I got here, and I'm getting older. And Preacher Savage, I got to thinking about them milestones that people say's out there. Daniel, and every time those milestones, whenever I was your age, they look like they was way down there. But I'll tell you what it is now. Those milestones are clicking off faster than I can think about. Amen. And they keep speeding up. And they keep getting closer. And they keep getting closer. And they keep getting closer. And you know what God's telling you? You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. Amen. That's what that's for. Now look here, ain't that happy? Boy, that's a good Mother's Day message right there, ain't it? You're going to die, amen, and I'm happy about it. Hey, look here, friend, you get in that place, and I mean those milestones are clicking off, and folks are watching at them, and they're just getting more and more miserable, and you'll watch folks without Christ, and the closer they get to the grave, they don't get happier, they get more miserable. How they get more miserable with their families, they get more miserable in their marriages, they get more miserable with themselves, because they know it's about over, and the best is behind them, amen. But for the child of God, thank God, the best is yet to come. In Philippians 3:21, bless God, the Bible teaches us that there's going to be a day he's going to come from whence our conversation is in heaven. He said, when he appeared, he said, we'll have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. I'm telling you, there's a day coming, thank God, and we'll see him as he is. And when we see him as he is, we'll look like he looks, amen. And be conformed to the very image of Christ, and no spots, no blemish, no wrinkle, just perfection in the eyes of God. And until then, we ought not be miserable. Amen. I'm not miserable. Now, y'all be miserable if you want to. Some folks are miserable while I'm preaching. Amen. You say, I'm miserable this morning. You ain't the first one. Amen. Thank God. Don't even bother me. Praise God. I'm saying I'm having a good time whether you're miserable or not. I'll be honest with you, I have a good time sometimes making people miserable. Do with that whatever you want to. I'm just telling you. We're standing in this place and these folks miserable. They don't have no answers. And they're coming through this thing and they're going through the motions and they think, man. Heard a fellow the other day tell somebody, he said, whatever you do, don't get married. He said, it's miserable. And I thought, well, I wish somebody else would stand up and testify a little bit about that. That's not, look here, neighbor. Not my experience. That's your experience, Doug. No, come on now. Somebody help me right there. I put him on the spot. That's not our experience, is it, Josh? Daniel's, that your experience? No, Matt, is that your experience? Christian, is that your experience? No, you know what? We ought to have some more folks stand up and say, hey, I'd do it again 1,000 times. Amen. You know why they some folks' marriage is miserable? No Christ in them. No hope. You know why some homes is miserable? No Christ in it. No hope. You know why some church experiences are miserable? No Christ in them. No hope. You know why folks are miserable? No Christ in them. No hope. Amen. But for those that do have hope, hell's not our home. The grave's not our home. The body's not our home. Thank God this world is not our home. Amen. Amen. You know how he ends that thing? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." Amen. For thank God for at the last trump. He said, "For the trumpet shall sound." Amen. "And the dead shall be raised, and we shall, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And for when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, and death is swallowed up in victory." It said, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And for the sting of death is sin, and strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us victory," amen, "through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, thank God, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, or labor of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know why I ain't miserable? This world's not my home. This thing's going down, but I'm going up. Amen. I'll tell you why I'm not miserable. Because I don't have to stand up here and say, "I'm Brother Kevin, he, him." Amen. Not miserable. Amen. Y'all know what I am when I stood up there.
That's right.
I'm a man, thank God. See, I'm not miserable. I got hope right here. I got hope. And it don't matter how crazy it gets around me. When the world gets crazy, they say, "Man, can you believe what's going on in the world today?" Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm surprised it ain't crazier than it is. Amen. They ain't more saved than lost. We're looking around acting like we're surprised in these days. Why is everybody so surprised and miserable? I said, "Man, I'll tell you what." They said, "We know there's a problem, but we don't, for the life of us, understand why." I'll tell you what the problem's not. Y'all listen to me. Don't nobody get nervous. Everybody in here knows what I do for a living, right? Let me tell you what the problem is not. The problem is not to numb everything with medications. That's not what we ought to do. These folks got problems. I know that. That's not what I'm getting. But every kid that comes into our store that's got problems does not need antidepressants. What they need is Jesus.
Amen.
And what we're trying to do is numb them to their sin so that they don't feel nothing down here. They don't feel nothing up here, and they just keep marching along, and they say, "I'm miserable. I'm miserable." I can tell you this. The only time I remember, the last time I guess I remember being miserable, when I was out of fellowship with God. You get out of fellowship with God, Brother Josh and Thaniel, you just tell you what, all over the message. I'm saying this. Are you miserable today? You be honest. Be honest. You go home out of this thing, how do you quit smiling around everybody that you love and that they're expecting to smile? How do you take off your Sunday best and your mask? I'm talking about right down in here. Are you miserable? You're here and you're lost. I can tell you what the cause is, and I can tell you how to fix it. Out of fellowship with God, tell you what the cause is, and I can tell you how to fix it. Marriage going down, I can tell you what the cause is, tell you how to fix it. Got a lot of prescriptions. I'm gonna tell you, I'm done preaching. Get ready, I'm done. You know what I've always found is amazing working in the drug business? I find this absolutely crazy. Happens every day, multiple times a day. Somebody'll get up on a Monday, their kid'll be sick, dying. Take their kid, Mandy, you'll amen this. They take their kid to the doctor. Spend 2 hours getting diagnosed, call in the medication. You know what'll happen? Don't come get it. My kid's sick. Know he's sick. Know what the problem is. Know where the solution is. I believe I'd just rather go back home and take a nap. Now we're sitting in church on a Sunday. Know what the problem is? Know what the solution is? But instead of doing something about it, I believe I'll just go home and take a nap. And when you wake up, I've got enemies this morning, amen. When you get up, you're still going to be miserable. Still going to be miserable. I'm just preaching on why I'm not. Stand to your feet. I've cleared my heart. This world's not my home. Grave's not my home. Body's not my home. Hell's not my home. I'm not. Whoever's going to sing, come sing. Come play whatever you're going to. I'm asking you that if you're here and you're miserable, you say, preacher, I come and pray. Everybody's going to know I'm miserable. They probably already know. I believe I just quit caring about what everybody else thinks and just go get help. If the Lord deals in your heart about something else, you ain't responding. Look here, ain't nobody's business around you what you're praying and talking to God about. I think it's probably time. I hope that everybody, if we did a poll in this church today, I hope every marriage, everybody said, man, I'm as happy in my marriage as ever could be. Happy in my home as ever could be. I pray right down in here, between you and God, if tonight you died, you can say there's joy waiting me on the other side. And if there's not, won't you respond to God this morning? Well, as they pray.